Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Sanjay Torre, another episode of Office Evolution Radio. And Sanjay, this one is the one.
It's going to be epic. I can already see it.
This is where the magic happens. First up on Office Evolution Radio, we got John Herbert with Herbert Legal Group. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to open for Andrew. I appreciate you having me here.
And yeah, that was very kind of him to drag you in here. How do you know Andy?
Mr. Bean, I know Mr. Bean. He's the consummate networker here in North Fulton County, and he's doing some great things in his locations. And very excited about it, and excited to be a part of the show today.
So, how are you serving folks at Herbert Legal Group?
We are, for the last 6 years, we're going into our seventh year now, working on a concentration of business law. And the thing that we do special in that arena is that we work with our clients with a flat fee, which they like quite a bit.
So normally lawyers, traditionally lawyers have charged an hourly, right? Is that not even an hourly? It's like fifth of an hour, tenth of an hour.
It's in 6 minute increments.
6 minutes
is how they do it. Yeah, that being a tenth of an hour. Right?
A tenth of an hour.
Yeah.
See how clever they are? That's very clever. So you decided to go a different way.
Yeah, we were. It was 2013. We were kind of still coming out of the recession, business law services were a luxury for most people, and I wanted to find a way to help people, get them over the hump of calling an attorney and getting something going. So there's always a reluctance to spend money, because when you talk to an attorney, there's this fear about the time and the money. Is he charging me when I call? Is he charging me when he thinks about me? Is he charging me if he dreams about me? Those types of things. And when you have that discussion with the client or potential client about a matter and how long something's going to take, you've always got one idea in mind how long it will take. The client always has a different idea, and they're never the same. So the next interaction you have with your client is that surprise invoice they got in the mail. And now you're talking about the invoice rather than the matter your client needs really to discuss with you. So it removes that barrier. It removes the conversation about how much value my time has over my client's time, when really I assure them that our time is worth the same. Time is an invaluable commodity, and it's not something that I'm comfortable putting a price tag on. And they like that message. It gives them the ability to set aside the resources they're going to need to get certain things done. So the way we work is we sit with them in a meeting. We listen to what they say. They're actually off the clock during that meeting time. And we come back with a proposal of what we think they need and by when we think they need it. Based on their priorities, we may break that proposal up into several pieces. And we look for a way to provide them value while fitting in with their cash flow. That's the important thing for us.
So then the needs could be documents, they could be agreements, they could just be advice, right? The needs vary, I'm sure, case by case, client by client.
Yeah, that's correct. We are heavily document based, being in the business law arena, but a lot of times it is just an advice. And I can't tell you how many times I get the phone call from the client who knows they can call because they know I'm not charging for the phone call, and we can handle their issue right there on the spot. 10-minute phone call, we're done, and we'll catch them next time on some billing.
So then when you got into this and you kind of changed the paradigm, because this is different than a traditional law firm, were the clients like, oh my God, where have you been all my life? Like, was it? Because I would think that this is really refreshing.
I think so. It's taken 5-6 years now that we've been doing it to educate people that this is actually, no, really, this is how it
this
works.
This is how it works. No, really, this wasn't a bait and switch just to get you here.
Yeah, no, really, you can call me. it's going to be okay. So it's still educating people, but it always gives me an opportunity to speak about what we do when it becomes a question about how we bill and those types of things.
Now, on your website, I see something called the Be Sure Business Review. Like, what is that, and how does that work?
Be Sure Business Review is a way for us to come into an existing business. A lot of these businesses, they've been around for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, which means they're over the hump. They're going to make it. They're not hopefully going out of business, but they've grown quickly, and maybe they're ready to hire their first employee, or maybe they have employees. They're looking to sign a lease at Office Evolution, perhaps. And they're looking at all the different ways they can start to expand. Maybe they've added a partner. And a lot of times these things happen, and their business documentation, their underlying paperwork, just doesn't reflect where they are 3 to 5 years down the road in their business. So we come through and we do a very comprehensive look at everything from their formation documents to even their exit documents, such as a buy-sell, and make sure everything's buttoned up. And we produce a comprehensive report of the things they're doing right, the things they can do better, and then if there's issues to tackle, we tackle those over time based on priorities and based on their cash flow.
So that gives the client kind of a roadmap for the year or for whatever period of time that this covers?
That's right. That gives them the roadmap of how to be where they need to be. And it becomes important when they're ready to borrow money. This gets them ready to sit in front of a banker with everything done and finished. It's really important too for when you started hiring your first people. But yeah, it gives you a roadmap where you are, where you've been, where you need to go.
So now, is that kind of the beginning of most of your relationships? You go through that type of a review and then kind of get the lay of the land. That gives you a chance to learn about the company and what their objectives are, and then it gives the company kind of that roadmap of what I can expect in the relationship.
You know, that would be the ideal situation, but for companies that have been around for a while, I'm convinced that every small business owner walks around with something itching inside of his or her head, some issue that, you know, that's the last thing they think about when they go to sleep and the first thing they wake up in the morning. And it's that issue usually that gets them through the door. And it's like going to a physician. If you have a broken arm, you don't ask for a physical first. You ask for the arm to be fixed. And then maybe you start to look at the other aspects of your wellness. So it's the same with the company. As much as I'd love for people to come in when there's no problem or no perceived problem, often it's a fire that needs to be.
So they're triaging something.
Normally it's a triage. And then once we establish that relationship with some
then
trust,
then you do the review.
Then we put them through it.
Now, so now is a review a flat fee or is that a case by case?
It's a flat fee, but it's case by case. It's still a flat
fee. So what is there a range or is that a secret?
It's not a secret, but the review is not that we don't really charge heavily for the review simply because almost inevitably a lot of work comes out on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always things that need to be done in everybody's business.
So the first call or the first conversation with you is not a fee?
There's no conversation with me for a fee.
Okay, so there's no conversation for a fee, but the first conversation where you get the lay of the land and I just dump my brain and tell you all the issues I have, it's like a therapist.
Absolutely.
Right?
If we sit with each other for an hour and I can't find something to
you'll
do
find
for you,
something. It's you're good not for doing
you,
your job.
Bad for me. I'll catch you next time.
But so that's how it works, right?
Absolutely.
We'd sit down. We'd tell you this is what my business is. This is what we're doing. This is how we've done it. These are the pile of forms I've got, and then you kind of look at this stuff and go, okay, this sounds like X. It's going to take a year to go through all this stuff, and it costs X to do this, Y to do that, Z to do this.
Yeah, you know, and it's so funny. People are so surprised by this method, but you've just described a regular relationship with most of your business vendors.
Right.
Except for your lawyer.
Except the lawyer.
Right. So we're bringing everyday common sense billing and services into the legal field. So when you get an invoice from us, you see things we've done. You see things that we have produced. You see
right,
results,
not minutes,
not
you've
hours,
worked,
not minutes,
right.
Not 6 minute increments. You can see, oh, these guys have done this, not how long it took them to do it.
Right, because it's not my concern how long it takes you to do it.
Well, when you go and order a coffee, right. do you care how long it takes them to make the coffee unless they take too long? Of
right.
course. But you're not going to pay them based on how long
right.
it takes them to make a coffee. You don't go buy your car and wonder how long it took them to build the car.
Right. So now now that you've made this change and now that you're getting the word out about it, has this impacted your referral situation? Do people refer you more now?
Absolutely. I think people know that they can be comfortable referring us out because they understand that we are not going to they trust our fee. They trust the way we're going to bill the people that they refer to us. So you may not like me, but it's not going to be because of my invoice.
Right. So now in the so for most business people, they need some legal stuff and they probably it's like going to the doctor. You're putting it off until there's a problem. Right. So what's some low hanging fruit for a business that just started out? What are some of the basic do's and don'ts for forming their business?
Yeah, make sure you've got all your formation documents in place. That's going to be an operating agreement for an LLC. And it's important to understand what it says. There are so many provisions in an operating agreement that aren't our everyday transactions, such as that buy-sell section, such as the authority of managers or members, those types of things. Having your EIN, making sure you're doing your annual registrations with the state, and keeping those documents up together. And look, you've just gone into business. Do you have a will? I mean, those are things that we help people look at. So we look at some of the areas in their personal life where their business intersects. We look at their business life. And now the third leg of that stool, which is it's a different radio show, but we're talking to people about, hey, what are you going to do about your parents now?
So you're getting involved even at that personal level?
Yeah, we really look at everything.
So that's interesting. So the personal interest is a component of this that a lot of business people may not have thought of, that would be part of their lawyer relationship.
Well, look, this lawyer is also a small business owner, and this lawyer understands how much of our small businesses intersect with our lives. It's hard to find that line, and it's something we've chosen to do as small business owners, and so it's good to have that to help somebody walk you through and take that comprehensive look, because there is the line between your business and your personal life when you're a small business owner is non-existent most days.
So now what about other trusted advisors? So as a team of, when you're a small business owner, you have a lawyer, you have a CPA, you have an insurance person. So how do you play with them? Are you somebody has to be the quarterback. Who's the quarterback for my team?
A lot of times I find that I become the quarterback only because I really don't make drastic moves without identifying and speaking to their business advisors. And if they're missing an insurance agent, for example, on a buy-sell insurance, or if they're missing a banker, if they're missing a CPA/bookkeeper, those are things we try to get implemented immediately, because it takes a team to pay attention to all of the things that are needed in a small business. And if those people aren't team players already, and I find most to be, but if they're not, we start to bring that team together. It's critical. It's difficult to move forward without making correct decisions, tax, banking, insurance, all of those decisions.
Now, when you work with your clients, so you're going to make that referral. If you see I'm working with a CPA firm and I'm frustrated or whatever, you're going to have that kind of hard conversation with me of, hey, maybe you should consider another CPA. It shouldn't be this hard. Are you going to do that? Is that the level of care I'm getting from you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I see you're clearly frustrated, of course, I'll try to work with whatever CPA
right.
you have. But if you're clearly frustrated, of course, I've got, several that I could introduce you to and then let you make your choice among those.
Right. So that's part of your role, though.
That's right. And we do that as far as introducing you to banks, insurance agents, financial advisors. All of those advisors you're going to need, we have a rich network for that.
And that, again, I don't want to belabor the point, but this is different than a lot of attorneys. They look at it more transactionally, and that I'm just, I'm turning the meter on and off when I do work for you, and you're looking at it more holistically, and I'm trying to really be a partner, and I'm really trying to help you, your dreams come true, and I'm trying to help really be a trusted advisor in this.
Yeah, look, we're here to help our clients' business grow. I've found that That is the best way to conduct business. Again, as another small business owner, we're all in this together. So it's important for me to see them succeed. From a selfish standpoint, if they stay in business, I maintain a client. And from a non-selfish standpoint, it's fun to see people grow and follow their dreams and see what they love to do come true.
Now, in today's kind of tech-heavy world, are you seeing a lot of mistakes people are making in regards to intellectual property?
Yes, I think people consider intellectual property decisions, especially trademarks, probably a little too late in the game. It's something they need to explore early, and it's not always what they think it is. People have a lot of perceptions about how trademarks work and what they mean that just aren't true. And so it's important to get a bottom line on that. Trademarks are necessary. Trademarks are not, I'll tell you, they're not inexpensive, but I will tell you that they're important. So it's important to know well in advance about how you're going to treat a mark, how are you going to protect it, even well in advance in the time you're ready to do it. It's good to know that's coming down the road so that you can plan time, resources, and do it correctly so your application has a better chance of going through when you make it.
So do you have any stories you can share, maybe clients, I wouldn't name any names, but clients that have done, you know, you work with and have taken to the next level?
You know, that's been the exciting things is coming in and seeing, you know, there's so many that we have now that are coming in and doing great things. It's hard to put a finger on just one. It's been a very exciting process over the last 6 years to see companies start, companies grow. Most of them make it, they all don't. But for the most part, the economy is great in our area, and our clients are growing and doing well.
And for you, do you, I know business is your niche, but is there a niche within a niche in terms of specialty? Do you work mainly professional services, solopreneurs? Is there an area you focus on?
We are really all over the board. Our philosophy is we have another attorney at the firm, Katie Sparks. When we add attorneys, our philosophy is we all do about 80% of the same stuff, which is the core business matters, and then we each have our own little area. For example, Katie is a great trademark attorney. She does wills and estates for people also at the firm. And then I do things like real estate, and I do things like litigation when necessary, those types of things. But as far as types of companies and sizes of companies we have every type and size. We have clients on 6 continents. If this show is reaching Antarctica, I am looking for some clients there.
You're looking. You have room for one more Antarctica.
Yeah, room for one more continent. I want to get to all 7. So we're excited about the footprint we have, both in size of companies, types of companies, and the geography that we have.
So now, did you start out at one of these large firms?
No, it's always been me. That's maybe I didn't learn how to do it the right way.
So you've never worked for a large firm?
No, I've always been an entrepreneur, small business guy. And so I think that's why I have so much passion for our clients, what they're trying to do.
So when you started, though, you didn't do this flat fee. You did the traditional?
Yeah, when I started out doing some business law, and then you get drawn doing small business law. Well, this client's daughter's getting a divorce, or they need some collection work done, or they're getting sued. So I got pulled in different directions in my career. I started practicing in 1994. I've done divorce family law solid for a couple of years. I did commercial litigation solid for some years. So all of that has shaped my experience into what I'm doing now with the flat fee. With a flat fee model, my life is happier with a flat fee model. Believe me, my life is happier. My clients are happier about it, and it's a win-win situation all around.
And then the first step, though, is some sort of a conversation with you or somebody on your team.
Yeah, it's the first step is to get in contact with us, and we want to sit down and listen to what drives you. We do happy law. People come to us most of the time when they're happy and they're growing and things are going well.
So if somebody wanted to learn more and have a more substantive conversation, what are the coordinates?
Yeah, they can go to our website. We're at herbertlegalgroup.com. They can give us a call at 404-850-1000. 1080, and we'd be happy to speak to them there as well.
Good stuff. John Herbert, Herbert Legal Group. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
All right, hang with us. One more guest. Next up on Office Evolution Radio, Anthony Chen with Lighthouse Financial Network. Welcome, Anthony.
Oh, thank you.
Got to grab that mic and rock star close, buddy.
All right.
Rock star close. So tell us about Lighthouse. How are you serving folks?
Here at Lighthouse Financial, we help people in terms of understanding their priorities and what's important to them. And what we do, as the name of the firm, Lighthouse Financial, we act as a guiding light to show them the way.
So now, how'd you get into the financial advisory field?
Long story short, I actually was wanting to go into computer science in high school, but after 2 years of learning programming, I figured this is not the fun I had envisioned in my mind, because the guidance counselors back then was, oh, just chase your passion.
Right.
Being a geek, or still am, a bit of a time as a gamer, I thought, all right, well, what could possibly go wrong? Well, wasn't the kind of career I wanted in high school. So I figured, all right, I'm going to reinvent myself. It wasn't until, I think it was Masonio, an accounting teacher, was recruiting students to an accounting course, and I figured this would be a useful life skill, perhaps either just for my own sake of taxes, or if I wanted to run my own business, it would be nice to at least read the books or write my own, be able to record my own books. So after taking the class, I guess I was the only ones to really fall in love with it. But at the same time, I was looking, all right, well, I'm going to be trading looking at a computer screen of code into looking at a computer screen of Excel sheets. It's a kind of a lateral move. And then I thought to myself, well, there's got to be something better to still deal with money and finance. I figured maybe I can help people with money. And I thought, in the ripe old age of 17 or 18, that I was a genius. And so I looked up on Google, and said, oh, no, this field has been around forever. You're not as smart as you thought you were. And from there, I went to college, majored in finance. And this is all I've ever done coming out of school. But I didn't really understand the full impact of what financial advisors do, because I had the same kind of misconception or stereotype of financial advisors that, oh, they just do investments. It wasn't until I graduated in 08, and of course with a finance degree, perfect time, great timing.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of opportunity.
Yeah, and my mother was not exactly thrilled being my choice of major. And she was kind of worried and panicking, justifiably.
Because you were in New York at the time?
Yeah, I was actually in Buffalo.
Right.
So
a lot of openings at Lehman.
Lehman, Bear Stearns. And so I was kind of listing off the names of companies I was having interviews with. And it wasn't until I got to MetLife is when she mentioned, oh, is that the company with a dog? Now, being a first-generation immigrant, she only memorizes companies by their logos, like the McDonald's with the golden arches and all these other things. And it took me a second, and I thought, you mean Snoopy? So yeah, that big white dog with the flappy black ears. I was like, what does that have to do with my interview with MetLife? And that's when she disclosed that the advisor that they have was from MetLife. And I don't remember you guys having any conversations about any advisor or anyone from MetLife. And it was, a long conversation where I uncovered that not only was their advisor was from MetLife, the policies that the gentleman set in force back then was still in force today. And also for my college expenses, it was actually because of that gentleman's prodding to get them started.
Wow.
When I was born, and I thought to myself, oh, so that's this is what
the universe is talking to you, right?
Yeah, and I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And at the same time, kind of going into the small business world, I don't even know until, again, as she was disclosing all of this as our financial health, I didn't know. I mean, I knew we weren't well off. I figured we were the bottom of the rung. I didn't realize until she disclosed that we were actually the floor for the ladder. Because on the week of my birth is when my dad tried to open up his own small takeout restaurant. But again, that long story short, that didn't. They could have used a business attorney to advise him as to not just take a handshake agreement and have things in writing. But we kind of pulled out from that. But that advisor who came in really showed me what it was like to have an advisor on your side, and also having seen the consequences of not having an advisor on your side because he no longer has that business anymore.
So then you worked for them for a while, and then you got involved with Lighthouse?
Yes, actually moving from Buffalo back to New York City, Long Island area.
And then so that's where you started with Lighthouse, or you added to that here in Georgia? How'd you get to Georgia?
For that, I'm actually just a month and a half in, taking the good weather of Georgia. But as to what brought me here is actually my wife. She wanted someplace warmer, and also in terms of perhaps starting family and having a elbowing or winking from parents, like, yeah, where's the grandkids? I mean, and then we're thinking, all right, well, the cost of living in New York City is a little high.
A little bit.
And she was interviewing around and looking in Georgia and Atlanta. When she came back in this year in February, that was probably the happiest I've ever seen her since we moved in together. And I thought, yeah, we're moving. And here I am.
And then for you, because for you, you can get clients anywhere, right?
Yes.
So now you're here and you're trying to immerse yourself in the Atlanta community to try to pick up clients for your practice.
Very much. Oh, and just really getting my name out there and displaying what my philosophy is towards being a financial advisor and what really got me here.
Now, are you going to have a specialty? Are you going to work with certain groups of people or focus on them? You know, because anybody could use your services.
Mm-hmm. Primarily, the majority of my clientele is really just pre-retirement or retirement planning. That's where I started with, especially for people who are age 55 and above. Actually, my median age is 65 to 66.
So now, how do you go about finding, 60-year-olds? Like, you can't just go on Google, right?
Oh, no. It's simply having conversations like this and talking to as many people as I can in terms of retirement planning. For people who are just either, I'm sick of this 9-to-5. I don't know if I can retire. Well, I'll be the one to kind of guide them and answer those questions. Well, actually, you can. Let's just run the numbers together, and not only can they retire, but let's find out a way to reinvent themselves. And I'm still trying to find a better term for retirement, because the misconception is that we just stop working and sit at home eating bonbons. And actually, for some of my retired clients, they're actually busier retired than they were working. Because
right. You have to do something every day.
Either their significant other kicks them out, or they get to have the time and energy to really pour their passion to do something they always wanted to do, but they just either didn't really have the time, or because of financial obligations, they kind of stuck out the 9-to-5 and just was afraid to make that step.
Now, are most of your clients people who have worked in corporations and then, got a 401k and then it's now time to, like you said, go to the beach or do something like that, or if they want to reinvent themselves, or is your client a person that's a entrepreneur and has their own business and then they might just be looking for new challenges or to pass on the business?
It simply spans across a range. I like to call it, instead of just being financial advisors, we're like lifestyle managers, mm-hmm. and really talking in conversation instead of retirement planning is really legacy planning. Is how do you want to be remembered? It's not just, oh, great, I have a successful business, but how am I going to be able to continue the reputation of my business? It taking so long and really pouring heart, sweat, and blood into it.
Do you ever work with young people? Because I think that's an untapped opportunity for a lot of financial advisors, mm-hmm. because the young person, they might not have a lot of money today, but they can start benefiting from compounding if they start earlier rather than later.
Yeah, certainly my conversation with them is getting them to at least understand the urgency to start planning early, because like for the baby boomers or our parents' generation, they have pensions and other safety nets around them to be able to provide for their retirement. But for the younger millennial generation, we don't exactly have that luxury. So for them, I really stress the importance of starting saving early.
Right. So are you focusing on one, a person that worked in the government or a corporation, or do you focus on the business owner and entrepreneur?
It would be the entrepreneur or the business owner. Yes.
Okay. So then is that in New York, that's who you work with mainly?
Actually, it would be more of the retirement planning stages, and then some of the younger professionals going, and then the mm-hmm. smaller portion would be the business owners themselves.
So what does that first conversation with you look like typically?
Well, for me, it would be really understanding, well, what does success look like for them? What are their goals? And really understanding their why. Because I think, at least in the industry, when we talk about retirement planning, it's setting a time horizon of a specific age and then an X number of dollars to store up to. Well, my question starts with, well, where did you get that number? Why that particular age? Instead of just, if I hear an answer, well, that's what everyone does, that's not the answer I want. I want to understand mm-hmm. the client. I want to understand what they think and feel, which gets to the conversation of leaving a legacy or reinventing themselves. Well, if I can have the conversation, well, if you can do something else, if money wasn't an issue, what would you rather be doing? And those are the conversations I start early on, so I can understand what drives them. And then if I can understand the drive, and then also understand the concern and fear, I can create a plan that will be successful. Because without those two key elements, it's very hard to just stick with a plan without a incentive to keep it going. It's kind of like a diet plan.
Now, is there some secret sauce about Lighthouse Financial Network that maybe some of these other more known brands have?
Well, I would say that we just sit down and listen to their stories and what their concerns are, rather than just going in with a prejudged notion of, oh, this client or prospect is at X age range at a specific profession. Obviously, they would all want Y. Well, that's really, if ever, the case. Sometimes, actually, good examples would be, I'd be talking to a very blue-collar guy, a mechanic, and when he wants to reinvent himself, he wanted to go to graphic design. Now, had I just assumed that he was just going to work out as a garage or work it with his hands and not have the conversation with him about, well, what would you want to do now that you have all this free time, I would not have gotten that information out of him and really create something to help him pursue that dream.
So now, for you personally, has there been a client that you've worked with that you can share a story where you've helped them kind of get that peace of mind?
The favorite, I mean, so many that comes to mind, but the one that really jumps would be a phrase I like using is giving the client permission to spend their money. It's a particular client where they have had saved up a lot, and looking at their finances, their number one concern is running out, and also making sure that they have enough set aside should their kids have any financial trouble, that they will have the resources to help them. And my conversation with them is, you've got more than enough to handle, not just for yourself, but your entire family. It's time to go out and live a little. It's hence the term, giving the client the permission to spend the money. And then they're, after about, I would say, 6 months of going back and forth and having an in-depth planning and conversation, is when they actually start planning on taking their grandson out on the Disney World, and even thinking of planning on buying a trailer so that she can ride with him, because he's a racer himself, but she doesn't want to sit in a car or in a truck. She wanted to experience the whole thing. And these are things they never would have thought of in terms of improving the quality of life in retirement, until I kind of came into the picture and said, no, you can. Don't be afraid.
Now, how do you guys get paid? Is it fee-based or is it commissions?
It's a combination. It comes down to case-by-case basis. So the industry mantra is, we're all fee-based, or could it be flat, hourly, or a percentage of what they would call assets under management,
mm-hmm.
and also a combination with commissions.
And then do you help the person in terms of not just investments, but insurance, like life insurance, long-term care insurance, things like that? Or are you strictly just on the money side of it?
Actually, yes. It's all the insurance, that would be the life, disability, and the long-term care along with the investment side of it. But those are the two avenues. A lot of people, when they talk about financial advising, those are the two big things they think about. Mm-hmm. But the other two segments a lot of people miss about, but I refer out, would be in terms of their taxes and their legal standing. especially when we're just having a conversation about having will, that's also very important.
Now, for you, as you kind of learn about the market here in Atlanta, how are you kind of getting out and learning about the community?
Having going to and running into as many networking events as I can, and getting the general feel of the people here, and really, it's been quite a welcoming and enlightening experience here.
Good stuff. So, if somebody wanted to learn more, have a more substantive conversation with you, what's the best coordinates for you and your firm?
Well, our firm's website is just www.lfnllc.com. My email is my full name, Anthony Chen, C-H-E-N, at lfnllc.com.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Sanjay Touré. We will see you all next time on Office Evolution Radio.